The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. Workers' Councils, the Modern Form of Workers' Power. The undeveloped state of industry in Paris in 1871 meant that workers' delegates were elected to the commune by neighborhood and out of the Parisian National Guard militias, which were dominated by workers. The commune, though its delegates were elected based on geography, ended up being a de facto workers' organization because well-to-do Parisians had fled the city. In later revolutions, after industrialization created bigger concentrations of workers in workplaces and urban centers, workers would create organs of struggle that were based on delegates elected from workplaces. The Workers' Council, or Soviet, i.e. Council in Russian, was first established during the 1905 revolution as a strike committee in St. Petersburg, made up of elected delegates from the different factories, set up to coordinate a general strike. Though originally an organ of struggle, it soon came to be seen by workers and peasants all over Russia as an alternative center of governmental power. In his description of the 1905 revolution, Leon Trotsky, who was elected president of the Petersburg Soviet, tells a story of how a clerk from an outlying province wrote a letter complaining of his mistreatment by a prince, addressing the envelope to, quote, "the workers' government, Petersburg," and it was delivered. Workers created Soviets again in the 1917 revolution on a ratio of one delegate per 1,000 workers. The Soviets pulled along behind them all of the oppressed and downtrodden. Soviets also spread to soldiers, sailors, and poor peasants. No political body was more sensitive and responsible to the popular will was ever invented, wrote the radical U.S. journalist John Reed of the Russian Soviets he witnessed in 1918. This was a superior form of organization to the trade unions, because the Soviets brought together workers across industries, uniting them nationally as a class. They were capable, therefore, of uniting and leading the whole class in struggle, and of leading all of the oppressed and poor peasants behind them. But Soviets were not some peculiar Russian invention. Similar institutions have sprung up time and time again in all parts of the world during periods of mass upheaval. The workers' councils in Germany in 1918, the factory councils in Italy in 1920, the workers' councils in Hungary in 1956, the Cordones in Chile in 1973, the workers' shoras of the Iranian Revolution of 1989, the inter-factory committees of Solidarnosc in Poland in 1980. All these are cases where workers, in the heat of mass struggle, created mass democratic organizations of struggle embracing the whole class, and basing themselves on workplaces as centers of workers' power. In every case, these institutions were set up to aid workers in both their political and economic battles. They didn't always get to the point where the movement became fully conscious of its potential to be an alternative to the old state. But in every case, these council organizations represented a dual power, the incipient power of the working class to reorganize the whole of society on democratic lines. In the United States, the class struggle has at times been explosive and violent, but workers have never reached a point where council-type organizations have been created on a national scale. But there have been glimpses. in the mid-1930s during the biggest rank-and-file strike wave in U.S. history. Workers throughout the country, following the lead of auto workers in Flint, Michigan, sat down and occupied their workplaces to demand union recognition. By the end of 1937, almost 500,000 workers had participated in sit-down strikes. In Seattle, in 1919, almost all the city's workers struck in solidarity with 35,000 longshore workers who had previously struck for higher pay. A strike committee was formed of elected representatives from each of the 101 striking union locals. The strike committee discussed not only issues of how to conduct the strike, but how to keep basic services running during the strike, like emergency health care and milk delivery. The general strike naturally raised the practical issues of workers' control of production and distribution. An editorial written by Anna Louise Strong on the eve of the strike expressed the potential. Quote, "Labor will not only shut down the industries, but labor will reopen under the management of the appropriate trades, such activities as are needed to preserve public health and public peace. If the strike continues, labor may feel led to avoid public suffering by reopening more and more activities under its own management." End quote. The strike ended, under pressure from conservative union leaders, in 6 days. Nevertheless, it posed in embryo the question of who runs society and in what way. A workers' council is even more democratic and representative than a strike committee based upon union delegates, since it brings together delegates elected from different workplaces. But for committees of workers' delegates to go from being an embryo of a new society to being an alternative government, they must not only become a national form of organization that embraces the majority of workers in the cities and towns, they must also be able to do away with the old state structure, as Marx and Engels pointed out in their writings about the Paris Commune. These Soviet-type organizations begin as organs of struggle that help coordinate the fight, but they can become the basis of a new way of organizing society. End of section.